Deva Sudevaya.
Om
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Canto number 1, chapter 6, text number 33.
Ragayata swabhiyani.
Ragayata swabhiyani.
Yetapada priya shavaha.
Yetapada priya shavaha.
Ahuta iva me shikram.
Ahuta iva me shikram.
Dashanam yata chetasi.
Dashanam yata chetasi.
Ragayata swabhiyani.
Ragayata swabhiyani.
Yetapada priya shavaha.
Yetapada priya shavaha.
Ahuta iva me shikram.
Ahuta iva me shikram.
Dashanam yati chetasi.
Dashanam yati chetasi.
Ragayata swabhiryani.
Ragayata swabhiryani.
Yirtapada priya shavaha.
Yirtapada priya shavaha.
Ahuta iva me shikram.
Ahuta iva me shikram.
Dashanam yati chetasi.
Dashanam yati chetasi.
Ragayata swabhiryani.
Ragayata swabhiryani.
Yirtapada priya shavaha.
Yirtapada priya shavaha.
Ragayata sayam.
Ragayata sayami.
Dirta para priya saha.
Dirta para priya saha.
Ahuta iva me siham.
Ahuta iva me siham.
Dashanam yati chetasi.
Dashanam yati chetasi.
Vaishnavis.
Ragayata
swabhiryani.
Yirtapada priya
shavaha.
Ahuta iva me shikram.
Darshanam yati chetasi.
Anyone else?
Ragayata swabhiryani.
Ragayata swabhiryani.
Yirtapada priya shavaha.
Yirtapada priya shavaha.
Daiva me shikram.
Ahuta iva me shikram.
Darshanam yati chetasi.
Darshanam yati chetasi.
Ragayata.
Ragayata.
Thus singing. Swabhiryani.
Swabhiryani.
Own activities.
Own activities.
Yetapadaha.
Yetapadaha.
The Lord.
The Lord.
Whose lotus feet are the source of all virtues.
Whose lotus feet are the source of all virtues.
Or holiness.
Or holiness.
Priya Shavaha.
Priya Shavaha.
Pleasing to hear.
Pleasing to hear.
Ahutaha.
Ahutaha.
Called for. Iva.
Iva.
Just like.
Just like.
May.
May.
To me.
To me.
Shikram.
Shikram.
Very soon.
Very soon.
Darshanam.
Darshanam.
Sight.
Sight.
Yati.
Yati.
Appears.
Appears.
Chetasi.
Chetasi.
On the seat. of the heart.
Of the seed of the heart.
Translation in purpose lies divine grace should the AC. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Shri Prabhupada Kamija. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart as if called for, as soon as I begin to chant his holy activities. The Absolute Personality of Godhead is not different from his transcendental name, form, pastimes, and the sound vibrations thereof. As soon as a pure devotee engages himself in the pure devotional service of hearing, chanting, and remembering the name, fame, and activities of the Lord, at once he becomes visible to the transcendental eyes of the pure devotee. By reflecting himself on the mirror of the heart by spiritual television. Therefore, the pure devotee who is related with the Lord in loving transcendental service can experience the presence of the Lord at every moment. It is a natural psychology in every individual case that a person likes to hear and enjoy his personal glories enumerated by others. That is a natural instinct, and the Lord, being also an individual personality like others, is not an exception to this psychology. Because psychological characteristics visible in the individual souls are but reflections of the same psychology in the Absolute Lord. The only difference is that the Lord is the greatest personality of all, and absolute in all his affairs. If therefore the Lord is attracted by the pure devotee's chanting of his glories, there is nothing astonishing. Since he is absolute, he can appear himself in the picture of his glorification, the two things being identical. Srila Narada chants the glorification of the Lord, not for his personal benefit, but because the glorifications are identical with the Lord. Narada Muni penetrates into the presence of the Lord by the transcendental chanting. So please repeat after me. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna,
the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna,
whose glories and activities,
whose glories and activities
are pleasing to hear,
are pleasing to hear,
at once appears on the seat of my heart,
on the seat of my heart,
as if called for, as soon as I begin to chant. His holy activities.
Shri Rupam Sarajatam Sadhana Ratanatam Dantam Sajiva Sadhyatam Sadhutam Krishna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Param Sadhana Ratanatam Shri Vishakam Nitam Sra Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinva Vani Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Nanosate Tatya Kanchana Gaurangi Dvahe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Vili Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchaka Pajarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bheja Adhitanam Bhavani Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gata Shri Vasili Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay. So we begin by requesting the blessings of His Holy Sachinanda Maharaj and all the assembled Vaishnavas, so we can speak something on the wonderful verses and purpose of the Bhagavatam with the pleasure and the benefit of us all in the moment. So we're reading from the verse entitled Conversation Between Narada and Vyasadeva. So it's a very interesting verse, and some of the key points that Prabhupada brings out here before we can discuss for a while. I actually want to take us back to begin this by thinking about Prabhupada and his mission as he comes to the Western world, as he comes to the world. So Prabhupada, he creates his own pranam mantra, and in that pranam mantra he reveals his mission. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Asvati Adeshitarini. He's coming to deliver the Western world, which are full of voyeurism and impersonalism. And in the understanding of this impersonalism, the general level is to consider it to be the Mayavad philosophy and so on. But there is also a deep level of impersonalism, and that is the impersonalism when we do not accept the personality of Godhead. The feelings, the mood, the individuality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the panacea for that impersonalism is being given here. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart as if called for, as soon as I begin to chant his holy activities. So Narada Muni is speaking, and he's actually sharing his own realization. He's sharing his realization of the Lord's presence within the heart, within his heart. His cognizance of the fact that Krishna is being carried within the heart. And that cognizance comes up through this activity, as soon as I begin to chant his holy activities. So in spiritual life, a certain strength comes, and it's actually a strength that we see even in the material life. On the material level, a certain strength comes when people know and are cognizant that they are in a relationship in which they are loved. So when people are in a relationship and they know that they are loved, it gives them a certain strength. It gives them a certain strength. There are studies which have been done which look at resilience. Because the material world is such a, let's say, an abrasive place. It's a place where so many things happen. Jara vritti, jara vyadhi. So many tests, challenges, obstacles, so many disappointments. And sometimes when you interact with people, you can sometimes see on their face that they've been worn down by life. You have had that experience. Scarred, worn down. Difficulties, challenges, tests have worn the individual down. And at the same time, even as devotees, we sometimes have challenges and tests. Where does the strength come from to move through those challenges? And where does the purification come from in order to take the God of philosophy and experience him as the God of reality? The God of reality who is not just situated in our heart, but who is also lovingly reciprocating with us. Srila Prabhupada made the statement, he said, if you love me, I will also love you. And the greatest strength and resilience is available to every individual, every devotee, to the extent that we are cognizant of this loving relationship. There is a relationship that is taking place 24 hours a day, every moment, for every living entity. But the miracle happens when we are cognizant of that relationship. So Narada Muni has given this formula for how to be cognizant of the Lord's presence in our lives, in our hearts, in that relationship of every moment. The Supreme Lord has one activity. That activity is varied in its manifestation, but there's one activity. And the one activity that the Supreme Lord is always engaged in is loving exchange. That means it is a fundamental aspect of reality. The reality is actually about loving relationship. And even as he explains in the Bhagavad Gita, when he comes to this world, the secondary reason is to annihilate the irreligious factor and to establish a religion. The primary reason is to engage in loving exchanges with his devotees. So the essence of all existence is a loving exchange. But it takes a certain activity to be cognizant of that loving exchange. So there is an individual who's trying to love us. That is one side of the equation. The other side of the equation is our recognition and our receptivity to that love. It is our receptivity to that love. In this purport, the first sentence is very interesting. Prabhupada writes, the Absolute Personality of Godhead is not different from his transcendental name, form, pastime. And we've heard this before. He's not different from his transcendental name, form, pastimes. But then he says something additional to that. And the sound vibrations thereof. Very interesting point here. As soon as a pure devotee engages himself in the pure devotional service of hearing, chanting, and remembering the name, fame, and activities of the Lord, and once he becomes visible to the transcendental eyes of the pure devotee, how? By reflecting himself on the mirror of the heart by spiritual television. This verse is saturated with the principle of Vijnan. What differentiates the religionist to the transcendentalist? Religion means that you know that there is a God, or you accept that there is a God, you believe that there is a God, and then you do your own thing. But at least you recognize He's there while you're doing whatever you want to do. Krishna consciousness begins where religion ends. Krishna consciousness begins where religion ends. Because now that we've accepted that there's a God, now the point is, what is a relationship? Who is this person? What does he do? How does he like to dress? What is the fragrance when you're near him? What is the fragrance of his body? What are these earrings that he likes to wear? The sharp-shaped earrings, the peacock feather in his turban. All of these different things. What is the personality of God? Prabhupada once said, to know God is to love him. So in order to deepen the relationship, we want to understand who is that Supreme Personality of Godhead. And moreover, we want to experience His presence. Anyone can believe in God. Anyone can believe in God. But our devotional process is to be stimulated and enlivened in the relationship. As we said, nothing makes an individual stronger than the experience of love. Specifically, in the loving exchange, in the ability to freely, wildly, with all abandon, give and receive love. And in that loving exchange, it is like a competition. A competition between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. What is the competition? The competition is to see who can be more kind, more caring, more devoted, more loving. And of course, in that competition, Krishna always wins. So the essential principle of devotional life is to engage in that love affair and to be enlivened by that love affair. This is living the Bhagavad. It's not just hearing the Bhagavad, that is part of it, but to become enlivened by the remembrance of Krishna's presence. Now the amazing thing is that we all have that experience. The fact that we've come to Krishna consciousness, the fact that we've come thus far, means that there was some experience that you had. There was some situations where you needed something, you came to the class and Krishna reciprocated through the class, you heard what you needed to hear. There was some situation where you were in some difficulty and you received some insight, some understanding. So you understood the presence and the loving presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the miracle that happens is that in every exchange, and in the recognition of every exchange, something that's been broken within us is being mended. Prabhupada talks here about this transcendental television. At once he becomes visible to the transcendental eyes of the pure devotee by reflecting himself on the mirror of the heart by spiritual television. That means that all of us have our internal situation, our internal instrument, which can allow us to be receptive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Personally receptive. To receive personal guidance, personal instruction, and all of these guidances and instructions, they are a form of his loving exchange. I want to be in a relationship with you. I'm there for you, and I want you to recognize that I'm always there. So, in another place, Prabhupada talks about us having to fix this instrument. In this purport, it is also very interesting that Prabhupada is speaking about where our psychology comes from. And this, in understanding this, it gives us a clue towards the understanding of how we will enliven, deepen and revitalize our personal relationship with Krishna. Krishna personally reciprocates with each and every individual because each and every individual offers a particular, unique and personal flavor of love and service. And Krishna is particularly drawn to your unique flavor of service to him. So Prabhupada talks about this point of how the psychology, it is a natural psychology in every individual case, where a person likes to hear and enjoy his personal glories enumerated by others. Isn't that wonderful? So the basic point is that Krishna is a person. And it is therefore a fact that whenever there is a sincere discussion of, or even recollection of Krishna's kindness, his mercy, the beauty of his form, all of these things, he's wondering who's talking about. Well, oh, do you actually like the way I dress? Oh, that's amazing. He's drawn by that. And it's a very sweet thing. Because our understanding of the Supreme Lord is deeply personal. And it is therefore extraordinarily intimate. At the same time, it is unique. And at the same time, it is a very joyful experience. But it depends on whether we understand it for what it is, or whether we carry our own conceptions, our own more mundane conceptions into spiritual life. And it is easy to do. So one level of the mundane conception is that God is there, but at the end of the day, he's not really a person. We accept that philosophically he's a person, but there's a difference between what we accept philosophically and what we do in practice. So, for example, and it's something I also often struggle with, if I'm chanting my rounds and I get distracted, am I thinking that I'm actually turning away from a real person? Am I considering that just like if I was in a conversation with you, I'm turning away and doing something else while you're trying to talk to me? How would you feel? And am I considering, how's Krishna feeling? I'm calling him, and then while he's there, I'm just doing something else. Or thinking about something else. And so it's very rude. He's there, he's been called, you want this relationship, but then we're doing something else. And I was just thinking, if I understood more deeply, if I really accepted very deeply that he is a person, then just like in a conversation with one of you, I couldn't just turn away and do something else while we're in the middle of an exchange. If I really accepted it deeply, it would profoundly change the way that I deal with him in the form of his holy name. So we know that we have a philosophical understanding, but there is often a gap between our philosophical understanding and our realized activity. So we want to bridge the gap. And there are means by which we can bridge that gap. Let's go back to the poem. So, how are we able to bridge that particular gap? There are a number of things that we can do. And it is rooted in this understanding. The Lord being an individual personality like others is not an exception to this psychology, because psychological characteristics visible in the individual souls are but reflections of the same psychology in the Absolute Lord. So even our own psychology is in some way a reflective clue towards the personality and the psychology of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, according to our founder, Acharya. So the next time that we interact with devotees, as Maharaj was saying yesterday, we can consider that when we're speaking about Krishna, he's being enlightened. He's thinking, oh, who's talking about? The more that we do this in a heartfelt way, the more that we tune in, what is it about Krishna that I particularly find inspiring? Whether it's something about a particular pastime. What is the pastime that when I hear it, I think, wow, just look at what Krishna does. What is it that I hear about Krishna's form, the way he dresses, the interactions with his devotees, that particularly enlighten me? How can I think and connect sincerely from the heart with something that I joyfully appreciate about my Supreme Lord? And every time I meditate on that and in some way express that in the association of devotees, that Supreme Personality in the heart is being enlightened and is also being cognizant this person is actually chanting my glory. And that is the way of a deeply rich and personalized Krishna consciousness. Even the process of devotional service can be covered by certain layers of impersonalism. And that the real difficulty with impersonalism is it is a barrier to the flow of the loving exchange. And just think about this point in life. If you talk about psychology, as Prabhupada is speaking about here, there's something very interesting you can consider about the history of humanity. And that is that when certain factions of humanity wanted to exploit, manipulate, or abuse other groups in humanity, one of the most repeated strategies that they used was the strategy to dehumanize or depersonalize a particular group of people. Think about it. Because when they were able to depersonalize or dehumanize a particular group of people, to divest those individuals of their feelings, of their unique interests, then the next step was it was easy to therefore take advantage of or mistreat those individuals. So in modern society, as people become more frustrated, you see increase in homicide, in suicide, and as people become even more frustrated, sometimes a rise in deicide, where people are so frustrated with life, so frustrated with personality, that they even want to try to kill God or kill the conception of the Lord or cover the conception of a personal form of the Lord. It is so extraordinary. Prabhupada goes to great lengths. I'm reading the dissertation by His Holiness Tamal Krishnamurti, A Living Theology of Krishna Bhakti, the dissertation he wrote about Prabhupada's theological contribution. And it is centered around this statement. Prabhupada goes to great lengths, not just to say that Krishna is God, but this it's a mouthful. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality. He goes to such great lengths to bring out this fact that we're not just dealing with a supreme autocrat or controller, but there is someone who is occupying that position. And that is a very, very extraordinary thing. Sometimes, by occupation, we do training in leadership, and we often talk about this, that someone is a leader by position. Because they have the official title, you have to do what they tell you. Okay? And therefore, it leads to a certain type of exchange. It's actually a respect of the position. But when we go into Krishna consciousness, we find something very extraordinary. There are different arenas in the spiritual world. And when we go to the most intimate arena in the spiritual world, the residents who are there in that particular place, Goloka Vrindavan, they do not actually care for the position of Godhead. What is it that they're attracted to? They're attracted to the individual personal characteristics of the person who just happens to occupy that position. Who just happens to occupy that position. So it is a deeply and intensely personal exchange. And that for us is a tremendous opportunity. A tremendous opportunity for us that if we develop a more personalized relationship with Krishna, you have an opportunity to experience a flow of loving exchange, a unique flow, an individually created and personalized flow of loving exchange between you and that same Supreme Lord. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And in that loving exchange, each and every one of us are transformed. We sometimes talk about the tests and challenges in the material world. But what we don't recognize is this unlimited reservoir of strength and mercy and sweetness. Madhura, sweetness that is available 24 hours a day. And it is just a secondary fact that it helps us to move through everything. But the primary fact is that we are transformed by relationship. When we come to Krishna consciousness, if we examine what we were and what we are now, we will see a transformation has taken place. And at the same time, what is also exciting is that transformation can now be engaged in even more deeply. Even more swift. And the panacea is as it's been given here. We want to understand who is it that we're trying to love. We sing this Jai Radha Madhava. This morning bhajan that Prabhupada has given us, it is so esoteric that Prabhupada's own Godbrothers say that they do not even chant it. Radha Madhava enjoying in the pleasure groves of Vrindavan. So Prabhupada has given us the most wonderful entrance and invitation to the greatest place or the highest realm in the spiritual world. Bhakti Vinod Thakur has explained that in previous ages, previous yugas, there was in each yuga there was what is called the Taraka Brahmanam. Okay? So even though in each yuga there was a yuga dharma, there was also names of the Supreme Lord that were chanted. And in each yuga, as people engage in the yuga dharma and in the particular names of the Lord they chanted, they would gain access to different rasas. It is a fact that in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, they would gain access to different rasas. But it is actually the case that it is only in the Kali Yuga that the Taraka Brahmanam, which is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, the Maha Mantra, that gives one access to all five rasas up to and including Madhurya rasa. Even that fact indicates something about the sweet and extraordinarily compassionate nature of the Lord. That means in Satya Yuga they did not have access to this type of rasa, to this fifth rasa. But Krishna has given the devotees in this age that particular access. Therefore, if we understand what is being given, it can enliven us to go for that. I remember one thing that my spiritual master writes in one of his books, that just by the reflecting on Krishna's loving exchanges with his devotees, that can also increase our capacity not only to love Krishna, but to also be loving in our interactions and dealings with each other. So love is not a small thing. It is the ultimate power and sustenance of each and every living entity. And it is like a transformative rasayana. How much we experience in Krishna consciousness is dependent upon how much we accept and recognize the Supreme Lord in His own pure spiritual individuality. Prabhupada was in the morning walk with his devotees, and at one point he just stopped and stuck his cane in the ground and said, "The trouble is that none of you believe in Krishna." And it's a very strong thing to say. The trouble is that none of you believe in Krishna. Now, how are we to understand that? Because they're all devotees, they've given themselves to the service of Srila Prabhupada. It means that there are deeper and deeper levels of realization. This relationship is a relationship that has no end. And one of the most amazing factors as to why it has no end is because the person that we're trying to love himself is always more wonderful and extraordinary at every moment. It is inconceivable and beyond our experience in the material world. Prabhupada met one of the individuals from Mensa. Mensa is the high IQ society, so for people to be members of that society, they have to have a certain level of IQ. And the person asked Prabhupada, is God so great that he can create something which is so heavy that even he can't lift it? And Prabhupada said yes. He said, Krishna is so great that he can create something which is so heavy that even he can't lift it. And then Prabhupada paused. And said, and then he can lift it. Just to blow everyone's mind. But then Prabhupada went on to explain that that's because Krishna's own opulence is ever increasing. So whatever he can do one moment, he can outdo at the next moment. Very extraordinary. We hear that Srimati Radharani, she does not cook the same preparation for Krishna twice. Every time it's a unique offering, because the spiritual nature, the spiritual world is ever expanding, unlimited. And that means that even while we are practicing devotees, there is unlimited opportunity and mercy, moment by moment by moment, to be increasingly enlivened in our loving exchange with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So maybe we could just pause for a moment and just do this as a reflection. I'd like you just to take a few moments. What is it that you find personally attractive about Krishna? Just take a moment to think about it. It can be anything from any direct experiences that you've had that you felt His real presence, His real reaching out to you, and that you've ascertained from that interaction some personal characteristic or quality. And maybe I'll just share, you can just give you an example. I see in my own life that, especially my son, that he has so much fault and so much work that needs to be done. But I've still seen that even that being the case, he's still kind. He still reaches out. He still reciprocates. And so I think this is amazing. I see in my life that this person has
is not just something I read, but I see in that demonstration unconditional kindness. And in seeing that unconditional kindness, it enlivens me to try to see what can I do to improve. Not because he's a punishing God, but actually because we want to reciprocate with his sweetness. Reciprocate with this personal quality that we've seen in our Krishna. For someone else, it may be a particular pastime that you've read that particularly touches you, because we want to be moved in Krishna consciousness by our hearts. We want to be moved from the heart. That's where the strength is. That's where the sweetness is. And that's where you see devotees blossom. Sometimes you meet the devotee, you haven't seen them for many years, you see them later on, and you can see even in their characteristics, in their face, you can see that there's an increasing sweetness because they've been able to access more Krishna, who is the source of all sweetness. It is very interesting. The Krishna in Dwarka is slightly different from the Krishna in Vrindavan. Same person. But when you see his form, Krishna in Vrindavan, his form is softer. Krishna in Dwarka, you see his form is a little bit more kshatriya-like. Right? It matches the mood and the activities. The Supreme Lord in Braj is the source of unlimited sweetness. And that sweetness, ladies and gentlemen, transforms each and every individual. And our access to that sweetness, it is on tap 24 hours a day. Every time you reflect on Krishna, every time you appreciate Krishna, something richer expands within your own heart, within your own life. Something deeper happens, something miraculous in our Krishna consciousness. And just as a side effect, it carries us through all the challenges in life. We want to be transformed by the nectar of Krishna's sweetness. We need that. And that does the greatest difference for each and every one of us. So just take a moment. Close your eyes and just reflect for a moment. What is it that I really appreciate about my Krishna? Because he's dealing with you. He's dealing with each and every one of us differently. Because he's so sweet and capable of reciprocating. So take a moment. What is it that you appreciate about your Krishna? Your personal relationship with Krishna? Just take a moment to tune into that. And whatever it is that you appreciate, that you genuinely, sweetly, deeply from the heart, that you appreciate about him, in your heart, just speak to him and tell him, just express that to him, what you appreciate about him. We know that he likes to hear himself glorified. We know this from Prabhupada, who is intimately connected, intimately associated with Krishna. Now we can tell Krishna, what is it that you appreciate? Sweetly, joyfully from your heart, you can share with him what you love about him, what you love about your Krishna, what we love about our Krishna. So just take a moment to share that with your Lord, with your Krishna, in your heart, what you appreciate about. When you're ready, then I'm going to ask everyone to bring their awareness back to the room. Now just take a moment to think about how that felt. How did it feel to connect with what you really, let's use the word, what you really love about Krishna? How did it feel to be conscious of that and to just sweetly express that to your Krishna, to your Lord? How did it feel? Anyone? How did that feel?
good, bad.
I thank you very much for this exercise. First of all, it was very revealing that something came up, and then I expressed this to Krishna. I felt I cannot describe it as good or bad. It was transcendental. It was a feeling of ultimate belonging, feeling of leaving the world with its shallowness behind and entering into something which was just much more, it is just categorically different, and that was a great experience.
Thank you very much for sharing that. Would anyone else like to share? So we're going to wrap up soon, but I'd like to leave you with this. Because it's Prabhupada here, we can take the essence, the essential principle that he's speaking about the relationship with Krishna, but specifically the realization. Not just the understanding, but the experience of it. And every time we do this, there is something about us that is changing. And Krishna consciousness is very magical for a number of reasons. One of the reasons why it's so magical is that every time we actually do what's said, we have sambandha, we have the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. From that sambandha, we have the abhideya, the activity of Krishna consciousness. And those together bring us to a certain goal, the prayojana. Every time we apply the teachings, not just hear the teachings, every time we do these teachings, apply the teachings, something about each and every one of us is changing. Something that was broken is being fixed, is being mended, is being soothed, and is being healed. And you bring that transcendentalized, or that soothed individual, you spill that over into your day-to-day life. It spills over into everything that you do. It even starts to spill over into the activities and the service. And it imbues those activities, those services, those dealings with a sweetness. Another thing my spiritual master used to speak about was how the World Health Organization says in the coming decades, the biggest cause of illness, bigger than AIDS, cancer, heart disease, is mental illness. Because the further you move away from transcendence, which is the ultimate and original loving culture, the further you move away from it, the more difficulties one experiences. Chanakya makes a very interesting point. He says, everything unnatural is an enemy. Interesting sutra. Everything unnatural is an enemy. So the more unnatural it becomes, the more difficulty it actually creates. So we can move this in a different direction. And don't underestimate the power of this. As an exercise, a suggestion, this is an invitation for today. If you keep reflecting as you did in this exercise, because it does a few things. The dynamics of the exercise is it first allows you to connect with your heart. We're not always connected to the heart. Sometimes we can connect with the mind, with the intelligence, but to connect with the heart, to connect with that sweetness, what you feel deeply, joyfully, and what flows freely from that heart. So we ask, what is it that you genuinely appreciate? Not all the things that the scripture says. Scripture says so many things. What touches you? What can you now joyfully call out to the Lord and say, yeah, this is what I spontaneously really adore about you, Krishna? It allows you to tune in and to locate the heart. And from that heart to then locate the relationship. The relationship takes place from the heart. It doesn't take place from the mind, it takes place from the heart. So we locate the heart, and through the heart we locate the relationship. This is what I really love about you, Krishna. If you go through your daily life with that reflection, just think what it would do to your consciousness. If you go through your daily life with that reflection, just think how it will imbue everything you say and think with that sweetness. With that sweetness. That honey-like sweetness in every aspect of every exchange. Sometimes as devotees we feel dry for want of inspiration or because of different tests or challenges in our life. I was very much reflecting what Maharaj was saying yesterday, that in 10 years ago it would be a temple congregation, everyone is living in the temple, but over time the congregation is living outside. And it is very powerful when our preachers are able to tune into the experience of the individuals to make everything relevant and relatable. Because then you pick people up where they are. You pick people up where they are, and then all together we move on the journey to where we want to get, where we want to be. So just think about a nectar-filled life. A life where you become stronger and everything, more and more, healed, whole, deep, and is no longer a theory of Krishna. It's no longer just an understanding of Krishna based upon some facts, but it is an experience of Krishna. An experience which is so deep, so touching, and so enlightening that when we interact with others, it is an unspoken experience that they are having because it is spilling over from your own consciousness. You see that sometimes. Sometimes you wonder, how is it that these devotees were able to surrender so much to Prabhupada? On the surface of it, you will look at this person and you'll think that this is just an old Indian man. But there must have been more to it. It is what this so-called externally seeming Indian, old Indian man, it is what he was carrying in that consciousness, and that was spilling over into the consciousness, into the heart of the others who he was associating with, which was so transformative. So there is so much more nectar to our spiritual lives than we access on a day-to-day basis. And that nectar not only soothes the heart, not only deepens the transcendental realization and enlivens us to get more Krishna, to go deeper into understanding who he is. One exchange is not enough. We have some exchange, we want some more. If this person is constantly becoming even more beautiful and attractive, how can I experience more of the relationship with my Krishna? Krishna, you are mine. How can I experience more? How can I love this person more? It's the statement, that's what we said, Prabhupada, if you love me, I will love you. Krishna, he makes the first move. You know, sometimes they talk about people wanting to be in a relationship, like who made the first move? Krishna, he makes the first move. He makes the first move because he is a love-hungry individual. And he likes to love. That's what he does. That is the fundamental nature of existence, and it is the fundamental nature of the spiritual world, and that is the fundamental nature of each and every entity. Prabhupada told one of his disciples, we will end on this point, he told one of his disciples, he said, I was in the spiritual world of Krishna. And he said, and Krishna told me, I want you to go down there. He pointed to the material world. I want you to go down there and preach. And Prabhupada said, I told him, no way. That's what he said. I told him, no way. And Prabhupada said, and Krishna told him, he said, don't worry. I will bring my books with you. I will allow you to live in nice places, but I want you to go and preach. Prabhupada said, therefore I came. The entire movement is a transcendental reciprocation between Prabhupada and Krishna. This endeavor to engage the living entities in sweetness It is an endeavor to engage living entities in eternal sweetness. And as a side effect, all the other ills of society are taken care of. But it is an endeavor to engage living entities in eternal sweetness. Therefore, Prabhupada says the engagement in Sankirtana Yajna is not different from entering into the Rasa Leela. Non-different. The engagement of each and every devotee in eternal, sweet, real, tangible, experiential, moment by moment loving exchanges with the Supreme Lord. So, as an invitation to something you may want to try, throughout the day, keep connecting back to what you really appreciate about Krishna. You can reflect upon it, you can share it with other people, you can just allow yourself to be enlivened by it. And just think what your life would be like. Imagine what your life would be like if you were to take the invitation of the Bhagavatam, the invitation of Narada Muni, therein, the Supreme Lord, true Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear. He says pleasing. Pleasing to hear. At once appears on the seat of my heart as if called for, as soon as I begin to chant his holy activities. An invitation to be transformed by sweetness, to be transformed daily, moment by moment, through a loving recollection of what you genuinely love about your Krishna. Your Krishna. Krishna is yours. Our Krishna. The Krishna which Srila Prabhupada came to give. So we'll stop there. Srila Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Not sure. Pointing out this essence of our Krishna consciousness very wonderfully. I have a bit of a critical question in the sense to clarify the meaning out further. In my experience, I see and know the devotees who have become very dry in their heart. As you can see, they say they have no feelings, they're like when their heart is numb. And they also got exhausted investing in a beautiful approach and being disciplined in Krishna consciousness. They got exhausted over the years. And hearing this class might be very challenging for them, like, oh, my life is dry, I don't have any feelings for Krishna. And then you mentioned that Krishna will make the first step. So what is the remedy for devotees who are in such a situation?
We'd like to first ask if our mind would like to share that from his realization.
First of all, I really want to thank you. It was really very nicely presented. It fit what you said, fit so nicely into the subject of this Sangha Leela, and not only it fit very nicely, it complemented it made it more complete by your pointing out about this thing about how to experience a relationship really with Krishna. So on Jai Gopal's very good question. I think it's a subject which needs to be addressed. And yes, this observation of devotee. I have also made this observation both in my life and in the life of others, that by so much rigidity and rules and our feelings can atrophy, our feelings can become dumb and dull and so on. And then when we are asked, what do you feel for, what is your feeling for Krishna? the actual experience we face a desert in the heart. There's no answer coming. Bhujan Prabhu and myself, we saw this. We saw it also coming, and we thought, what can we do as Srila Prabhupada to help devotees to become alive in their relationship to Krishna? And we found out, this is just an experience which we made and which many devotees made who came to our retreats, that if you go to Krishna's own home in Vrindavan, you go near to the closest of Krishna's devotee, Giriraj Govardhan, and you engage in hearing about Krishna, then a life-changing experience comes, and you begin to there is an immediate reciprocation for Krishna, who seems to flood your heart with sweetness. I would like you to go to an exercise. Imagine you have broken a relationship with someone, or the relationship is somehow broken, and you notice, my God, since 7 years our relationship is really dead. To say this, what would you do if this is important for you still? Yeah, imagine, have you ever had a friend when you broke and you thought after some time, oops, it doesn't feel good, something, this needs to be repaired? I think the first thing you do is you make a contact. You write an SMS, maybe. The most easy, the fastest way. And then you might think, well, SMS, I can't express anything so nicely. Then you might actually, to increase it, you might write an email. Wow, you think this is still not so personal. You might say, can we phone, please? Then you might make a real phone call. Wow. And then if you think this is also not yet so nice, then you might make a visit. And then you have made a visit, you think, well, maybe I should bring a present with me so that it's more, you know. And then, so I would recommend you that making a visit at Govardhan and Vrindavan, that will really. Devotees always tell me, Maharaj, what did you do to us? I said, nothing. You have to ask yourself, what did you do to yourself? And then, what did Krishna do for you? It's not me. It's you have visited the Lord at his home. And you have given a present of engaging in Shravanam and Kirtanam. And something really magical happens. You have to experience it, Jagopal. It cannot be expressed. But maybe to understand the principle of it, maybe I would recommend, is there a person who is important for you where you think it would be nice if the relationship is better? If there is someone, try to come closer. I would like to end this, if we're talking now about our relationship to Krishna. My dear devotees, if you feel like this, that your relationship is dead, what could be a possible SMS? That means the lowest, the easiest, fastest way of starting something. What could be your SMS to Krishna? I think coming here is already more than an SMS. It's a personal telephone call. I think you can already something. It really, it starts Jai Gopal, what do you think? Let me see. I know that you yourself are Prani Bhakta. I know this. thank you. But you're representing a certain view, a certain problem, a certain trouble with your question, which is very real, I believe. It's very real to all of us. I would like to give the question back to you. Think of a relationship which is important. What could you do? What do you do? Maybe now, I'm sorry to become now a little personal. You are married, I heard. I have heard that sometimes marriage relationships are really nectarian and very fulfilling and giving, but sometimes there is a tough time, that misunderstandings happen. What do you do to the person who's most important? I think you do things. I have seen you coming with hazelnuts, hazelnut drink, or maybe a rose, or maybe a picture of a very sweet camel, very sweet, some expression of sweetness. I have seen it. I won't get more personal, otherwise I have emails. How could you do this? I want to bring out the principle. What do you do in a relationship that is important, feels dead? What is your move? And that you need to think about. And I think if you use a human example, that is a good friend. I once had a relationship which was totally broken to a very exalted God brother. And I thought, well, I can only enter his heart through humor. So I wrote, and so I went to the papeteria, and that's where you buy a very nice postcards, and I found a postcard. It was about a small little foolish bird like this, and it showed him standing before the door of the person he wanted to make a relationship with. He had a rose flower in his beak, and he looked really foolish. And he entered the postcard and read, "Here I am again. Before your door, on the foot." What, how do you call this? Where you rub the foot on the
door?
Not the door. He was standing before this huge door, this impressive door, very humble, looking really like impish. Here I am again. And I thought, that's the best postcard. I read it. And my girlfriend was sent a package of sweets back. For my best friend. And then I thought, okay. Because he understood with this, it was not more than an SMS to go to the papeteria and find such a postcard. But it was good. It didn't the work. Sorry, I cannot talk brief.
Should we end here?
No.
So there's another question.
Hare Krishna. So you mentioned two parts about there being something broken. One was in relation to loving exchanges, and you said that when we engage in loving exchanges, then there's parts of us that was broken that becomes fixed. So my first question is, what is it just being fixed? And then you also touched upon how every time we apply the teachings...
Let me answer the first one. So what is it just being fixed in the spiritual television?
that's been referred to in this particular purport. So in a wider sense, because as Prabhupada talks about in terms of Krishna, he appears on the mirror of the heart. So we know Chaitanya Dattanamajana. We know that we have this inherent ability to be cognizant of Krishna, but that inherent ability is covered over, or in some ways in a state of disrepair. So by the engagement in devotional service and in that reflective appreciation of Krishna, sharing, glorifying the Lord, we're repairing that specific spiritual television, and as it becomes repaired, we're able to be more cognizant, more able to experience Krishna's presence, His guidance, His love, because it's always there, but our receptivity to it, that's the issue. So that's the first, that was your first question.
Yes.
Okay.
And the second part was about, you mentioned every time we apply the teaching, something about us changes, and is being mended, soothed, and being healed. So is that the same connection?
Same connection. It's like another analogy, be like removing the dust from the heart, removing the anathas from the heart. So the real self actually comes forward. Yeah. And to be honest, even physically, if you see devotees who have been engaged in devotional service in a very loving and caring way, they change. They look different, they walk a bit taller, they're more positive, they're more enlivened. If you look, you can actually even see on their face. Well, I was thinking of actually, and it's interesting, I can't remember where I read it, but when Krishna and Balaram went to the school of the Gurukul, Sadipani Muni, when you saw them, you can immediately understand, and he commented that these people are, they're very loved. Because he could see by their features that they have the countenance of people who've been brought up in a very loving culture and environment. So in a similar way, in our devotional life, as we practice loving exchanges, as we also reflect in a loving, appreciative way towards Krishna, even physically, we'll even have subtle changes in terms of our physiognomy as well, the way we look subtly. Yeah. So you tend to find the people who do that, they have more of a joyous, rosy countenance. Yeah? That's.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, no more questions?
So, but do try that experiment if you wish. As you go through the day, reflect on what you genuinely appreciate about Krishna, and you feel free to also share that with other people, and you can in turn just speak to him. This is, you know, I just want to say this is what I really appreciate about you. Thank you for this. And that, in that process of loving exchange and recognizing him to be a real person, as is explained by Srila Prabhupada, he'll become more, we'll understand and deepen our awareness of his presence in our hearts and in our lives, and that will be transformative for us and for others who come into contact with us as well. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.